He's an old dog.
Keep going, man. This is beautiful. I love it. Q Lazarus, shout out. Goodbye, Horses. This, of course, is the song when Buffalo Bill is doing his little twirl in the dungeon.
That during was something
Silence
else
of the Lambs.
That is the definition.
He was getting his gear on. He was getting his little, like, just uni on. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, no, he was feeling himself.
That was the and definition
you know why
of
we're
a
playing
tight
this.
Tuck.
Yes, the tightest.
The tightest of
tucks. Was that a tight tuck? You can't that teach that tight tuck. But
was
the reason we're playing this is that house was up for sale, and someone had the pills to turn it into a bread and breakfast. Who the hell's going to want to stay there?
Yeah, I got to believe that there's been enough separation where, like, millennials don't know about Buffalo Bill. I don't think people under the age of 30 are that familiar with one of the great movies of all time. Terrifying movie, but one of the great movies of all time. We had one of our trivia questions, I believe, on this show or some other trivia that I was doing over the past year that made me aware of the fact that they ran the table at the Oscars. Ran the table. Best actor, right. Best actress. I think Buffalo Bill might have won Best Supporting Actor. I think Best Director, Producer, everything. Like, it's just one of the great movies of all time, but it's a terrifying movie. And his house, which to you, to your point, Oz, you just made very clear, is officially up for grabs. It's in a small town called Perryopolis, Pennsylvania, and it is a bed and breakfast moving forward. So I guess you can get the lotion on, go for your dungeon tour.
Goggle tour and tight tuck dancing.
Yep, it's all available at the
Everybody meet down. We'll have an appetizer before dinner, tight tuck dancing, and then we'll dive into lasagna for dinner.
That was one of the people. But you're right. Like, it really says our age if that is a movie that you're familiar with, because I would be like, I don't know if the Grappler is super. What is the Grappler like? 29.
He doesn't even know 30. What this movie is.
Al's brother.
Know.
Like, they wouldn't know. Like, that's not in their wheelhouse, where it was more like that. That was junior hockey for me. I saw that in the theater on opening night. I'll never forget how you know what scared I was. That was horrifying. If you could place yourself in Jodie Foster's shoes in pitch darkness, he's got the night vision goggles on, and there are moths flying around, and you are in a basement?
Easily the most courageous move in cinematic history. The fact that she didn't run out the front door, call for backup, and say, I'm just going to wait. You know, I need 400 cops here. I need a SWAT team. I need people storming in through the roof, every
Dude, I
window.
Couldn't look at bugs after that. Like, when I saw a little beetle like that, I got my head on a swivel and checked for the defenseman coming late, because that ugly bastard,
he was so creepy.
Disturbing. Remember he would take the moth and put it on his nose and like talk to him? Like, that guy was such a creep.
I think that might be the picture on like the front of the cover, VHS. And,
yeah, it's like a moth, a black moth.
Yeah, he's got like
it's a moth on
face.
Buffalo Bill's nose, and it's basically all you need to prepare yourself for what you're walking into. And legitimately the most terrifying movie I've ever seen.
When it gets cooking, the bed and breakfast, we got to call there and see what the rates are, what activities are, and we'll figure it out.
We will. Yeah. We'll get to the bottom of Buffalo Bill's house morphing into a bed and breakfast. Terrifying movie. Not quite as terrifying as what happened last night. And I know a lot of people have been waiting for us to get on the air at 4 o'clock.
Where are you at here? I mean, I think there was...
Let me just say my piece first
thing,
okay?
Go ahead.
Let me just tell Leafs Nation, there's ugly losses. And I think, Noodles, you were on the St. Louis Blues when they came back from a 5-0
win. I know,
like,
people are shouting me out on that. I'd have
you might not have been there. But it was a bump in the road. It was a horrific loss. You can't lose to the worst team when you're up 5-1. They did all the stupid things. They gave the puck away. They didn't finish the game. They stopped playing. Blah, blah, blah. Bad goaltending. Throw it all together. But can't for once in this town, can't for once, we just take a step back and say we have the best record in the National Hockey League. It's a bump on the road, and let's let it be that. Like, everybody has bad games. The Red Wings back in the 90s, they would have a stinker like that. But they moved on from it. Like, instead of just saying this team sucks and we got to trade Nylander, we got to trade Tavares, can't we cut that crap out for once in our life? Or, like, I know
I'll tell you why that's not going to happen.
I know that's not why it's not going to happen is because so many times in the past people have been disappointed. And you've talked about it, Hayes. 12 points in, 9 games left, they end up 12 points out. But they have the best record in the league. Can we not freak out just this one time? Well, and if I'm the voice of reason, there's a serious problem.
Here's why that is going to happen. Not for everyone. You know, some people will look at it, and I tend to lean towards where you're at. It's one game. It'll be forgotten by the end of the week if they win Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday in Montreal. It's completely irrelevant. All of a sudden you look at it, you're like, yeah, they still got a point, and they got 7 of 8 points this week. It's all good. But when guys like us and others and fans throughout Leafs Nation continue to say everything about this season is about building for something in the future, then of course they're going to apply that same logic and that same reaction, because what that was last night was a complete meltdown and a choke job. Right. And it's PTSD for Leaf fans because it exposed every concern over the course of 20 minutes and 10 seconds. They're up 5-1 with 10 seconds to go, and then all of a sudden you've got Freddie can't close, check. Bad attention to detail, check. Brutal defensive play, check. Playing down to your competition, check. Like, that's what it is.
Right.
That's the reaction. You're like, wait a minute, we've seen this before. Does this mean come May, when they're in the playoffs, they're not going to learn from past mistakes? That's where you're getting the reaction. It doesn't have to matter, and it won't by Sunday. They pick themselves up off the mat, win Wednesday,
night,
win Thursday, you move on.
If they wax Ottawa tomorrow night, don't you just say, okay, we're forgetting about that. And there is some things to pick out, and there are some areas of concern.
That's
the second line, John Tavares and William Nylander, they got to play better than what they're playing. They can't pop in every 5 games or 7 games and have even strength scoring to help the team win. Because come playoff time, you're right, Hayes, that nonsense isn't going to fly. As good as Matthews and as good as Marner are, you're not going to win if it's just a two-man show and it's like, okay, we're going to score the goals and nobody else is going to contribute. So those guys got to pull their heads out of their asses. They got to play better. They're paid to play better. They got to play better because the team needs them to be better. But if they have a performance, like I thought in Montreal, when they gave up the first goal, they showed strides. It's like, okay, these guys are growing up a little bit. There's some maturity in this win. Where times in the past it would have been, this game ends up 5-0 and it's an embarrassment and we're losing our minds on this show. But I just don't think after this one, they still have the best record in the league. Best record in the league.
Not winning percentage, but best record, yes. Like they're fifth in winning percentage.
We're nitpicking.
Nitpicking.
We're 8 minutes
like
in. We're going to nitpick.
Sorry, Al's brother. I did not have the winning percentage down.
Come on
I'm
now.
Just saying if they, anyways, point being, here's where I'm at. I see both sides, but the question mark that I've been posed several times is, has this group maturity level changed? Well, the cast of characters is the same. They've changed the older players around, and those are the guys that have helped to bridge that. Has it changed or has it not? That was asked of me today.
I don't know.
What do you mean by who?
Like, just fans you're talking about in general?
And back and forth with a couple people today.
That's like, a question
that I think is legitimate.
The maturity
level of who? The core people that have been here the longest time, the Matthews, Marner, Nylander types?
The group is that core. What they did is they brought in veteran guys to help, you know, bridge, ease, all of that. The maturity level. That's all we've been talking about this group, the maturity level. You just mentioned, give up the first goal against Montreal. They don't panic. They come back. They keep going. Like, have you seen a change of it? I think I've personally have seen strides in it.
Yeah, I don't think after one game you can completely change the narrative, Jamie, and say all these guys are still immature, they're floating around, they're acting like they don't know what the hell is going on. I don't know if after one game you can completely change it. If you want to do that and fly off the handle, go ahead and do it. I'm just not doing it. I've done it too many times in 10 years.
Well, again, to make my earlier point, that we'll have an answer on that, Noodles, at the end of the playoff run.
Right.
Because maturity is ultimately about moving in the right direction and understanding
learning.
The moment. I do think, and I understand where Leaf fans are coming at this from, myself included, there was a hope, and it's still available to them, that they would be one of those juggernaut teams that just never hits a bump in the road. Very rare in the history of sports where you see that. But they've lost twice to Ottawa, like 2 times to Ottawa. Ottawa's 4 wins. two of them are against Toronto, and it's twice we've done this in a month where you're like, man, that one got away from you. What happened there? Which
right.
I think, again, is just more frustrating and disappointing than anything else. Doesn't have to mean anything big picture. Nothing changed last night in terms of where they're going in the regular season. Nothing. That one point is going to be irrelevant more than likely by the end of the year. And they can get up off the mat. I think they win tomorrow. I think they win Thursday. And you walk away with 5 or 6 points against Ottawa, and you gear up and you see where you're at on Saturday. But all these overarching questions are going to get answered in multiple ways during the regular
right.
season, because you ride the wave, and that's what comes with sports, and that's a part of the beauty of following a team. But the answers that we're really waiting for will not be available for 3 or 4 months. And
right.
that's
regular season isn't going to your point, Brian, regular season isn't going to matter. It's what they're going to do in the first round of the playoffs and further if they can get there. And that's when we'll test the maturity and the resolve of this group and all of the boxes that you were just talking about, Freddie, and all of that. It's a one-off. I agree. I think, to your point, do these one-offs happen? When they happen, they're bigger, if that makes sense.
Oh,
the David Ayers and the David, you know what I mean? Like, it's they're bigger on, because everything in Leafland
yeah,
is so loud.
We're bringing up the goalie now.
Oh,
that
you
one,
know it's yeah. coming, because I'm sure you guys saw that what I was dealing with last night on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw that.
This is recency bias 101. This should be bottled and sent to every university around the world, and every freshman
I think
class
I know
should
what
have
you're
to
talking about.
Learn this.
When someone said to you, this is worse than the backup
worse
goalie.
Than David Ayers beating the Maple Leafs. It is not in the same stratosphere as that loss for so many different reasons. First and foremost, they still got a point last night. Secondly, they're still in first place. And that was technically a goalie that had Ottawa Senator gear on last night that beat them 6-5. The David Ayers game will never be touched in the history of sports.
No.
Like, it will
no.
never be even pierced.
It's the
in
hockey
terms
hall,
of
it's in the Hockey Hall of Fame, that game, for the wrong reasons. It's the most unbelievable thing you'll ever see.
It's the most embarrassing loss in the history of this franchise. Period, end of story. 4-1 in Boston is less embarrassing than David Ayers in Leaf gear, who was riding a Zamboni at the Ricoh Center earlier that day, beating them in the third period. Nothing can touch that. The guy was on Good Morning America the next day. He became a celebrity at the basically because the Leafs were such an embarrassment.
Well,
like, nothing
I
can
know.
Ever touch that. Ever.
You, they just
ever.
Put up your Twitter feed to say, get serious. So you, you're of the belief, which is fine, and I agree 100%, by the way, 100%. Because the Senators, as I've been saying along, and I even heard Gordon Ray say it last night on the broadcast, had their goaltenders played like they've played the last 5 out of 6 games type of thing, they might have more points. They might have more wins. They had a really rough start. They had 7 games on the road. They couldn't get a save. They couldn't get defensive zone coverage. Like, you're right. I thought personally that game was going to be an 8-2 last night. I personally thought at 5-1, I was like, Matthews going to get a hat trick. Marner's going to get a couple more. I think Nylander and Tavares is going to get off the schneid. Like, this is going to be one of those. Like, that seemed to me like that was going to be point night. At 5-1,
it already was,
scored.
Noodles. You put 5 on the board halfway through the second period. It's point night.
That, Ottawa, that's they didn't show up. Ottawa didn't play well. Like, first period, I was like, look how easily these, like, they're getting into the zone, the entries. It was so easy for Toronto. I'm like, this one's going to get ugly. And it kind of did, basically.
Well, the thing is, what happened last night is it's an out-of-body experience to recap a game like that, because at the time, you don't necessarily put a ton of weight into two different plays. And the Tavares giveaway at the end of the second period was so bad, like awful giveaway, inexcusable for a rookie on a PTO. Terrible. Happens sometimes, but terrible. But when it's 5-2 against Ottawa, I didn't even make a mental note. I'm like, who cares? Whatever. Yeah. Then it's 5-3, and you're like, oh, that was an interesting giveaway. 5-4, wow, this is really
that
quite something.
That was the Chia Pets of giveaways, because it just kept growing and
exactly.
growing
right.
and growing and growing. You're like, Oh, look at that Chia Pet giveaway. That was a really big Chia Pet giveaway.
By the end of the game, it's massive. It's the largest dog on earth. And that's exactly what it did. And John Tavares, I think, has more of a spotlight on him today than any other player on the team because he factored in to the beginning of the demise of the team, effectively.
Right.
He's the captain, making $11 million a year, not playing that well, and he's got to own that. Like, John Tavares just simply, we all know he's got to be better. I believe he will. I have full faith in the abilities of John Tavares. But he had a great start to the year. I liked his play. I liked he was engaged. He looked good. He's skating well. The past handful of games, he's off.
He's off, and his line mate's off too. But the question is, and there's all different kinds of things that coaches can do to kind of motivate you. A, they can switch up lines. B, they can take ice time away from both of the players. They can take ice time away from one of the players. One of the guys can drag their lip around and be all sad, or they can just put something different there. They can elevate Nylander maybe up to the top line. Or do you do something drastic where you say, this is for the greater good, like we got to move Mitch Marner down there to play with John Tavares? Or do you say, John Tavares, the hell with that. You're going to fix this yourself. And Nylander, you're right beside him, and you're going to fix it as well.
It's a good question because I think you're going to see change over the course of the season anyway. You know, I think Matthews and Marner, they're committed to that. I think they should be. I'm a believer in that pairing. How could you be against it based on the way they've played? I do believe at some point when the chips are down, playoff time, Tavares and Nylander are also going to have to play together. Like, they're going to have to find a way to make that work, in my opinion, just based on their talent level, based on the likelihood of you being in a big game where you're down a goal or two, and you're probably almost double shifting and you need your big boys going. You need to rely on them to connect. But I do think there will likely be some sort of mixing and matching with this team, and it might revolve around those two players. You know, I don't know if it's going to happen tomorrow night, but yeah, I think it's more than reasonable to expect Sheldon Keefe to look at that pairing and saying, something's not right at this given time. So who do you move? I guess you can move Mikheyev around. Maybe you can move Kerfoot around. I'm not sure what they're going
to
do.
It's starting to look a little different than not just playing well. It looks like somebody might be a little bit bent out of shape or something. I don't know if it's one of them that's not in that top power play unit. I really don't know what it is, but I can pretty – like, my dad would always tell me when he's watching something, whether it be a team struggling, and he'd say there's something wrong there, more than just – they're playing like crap or they're a crap team. It looks like something's a little off. Somebody might be bent out of shape. I don't know what it is, but that's the sense I get from watching.
Yeah, I sense the same thing, but if it's one of those two players, and I believe that's who we're talking about,
right?
They got to snap out of it.
No kidding.
Like you're paid that. You're a professional. You've been in the league for a long time, both of you, and you're paid a lot of money. And the expectations are high. Forget the money. You are very high-quality players, and your team needs you. Forget the fans. Forget the media. You know, eventually it's going to come down to 18 guys are going out, and can they get the job done? Can they find, you know, can they get in sync and connect properly? And a lot of times this year they have done that in the right areas. You know, defensively they've been a lot better. They're in a good spot. You know, this is not Rome is burning territory at all. But
no,
we keep coming back to May 15th. That's when the dance starts. Are they going to be in a position to go on a long run? Because that's what everyone is craving in this town. And there are a handful of questions that continue to be brought up, and they've all got to materialize if you want to win a Stanley Cup. Like, we know that. Everything's got to fall in line. Everything's got to be perfect because this isn't the 1977 Montreal Canadiens.
No.
You know,
it's not. Also, the LA Lakers are one of the best teams in the league. I think they went into Detroit a couple weeks ago, and they got their ass kicked by the Pistons.
Yeah.
So it
can happen.
It happened. It happens all the time. I think what it is what's shocking, and it comes back to what you said, Brian. It's the way it happened. Like, you can lose to a team that's below you in the standings any given night. Goaltender gets hot. You know, one of their top players just has a night out of his mind. But it's the way it happened that annoys people, where you have the game in hand.
And we'll get into it all day long.
Exactly.
We got to fly, but I just want to let people know, calm down. And the second thing is, please don't address me as Jerry Crum on Twitter or anything, because I'm getting a ton of notes. Jerry Crum, can you please address this? My name is not Jerry Crum. It's a little thing for radio, and I'm just not in the mood for Jerry Crum
today. Why can't
you
own Jerry Crum? What's wrong with that? It's an alias.
Fantastic.
I
know, because you and Jamie and someone else involved with our superiors likes Jerry Crum. That's it. Brilliant. That's the only two people that
I
like
don't just
Jerry.
Like it. I have a lust.
You know what?
For
you
Jerry
are Roger.
Crum.
You're a Robert Petrovicki right now. Guys, don't call me Helmet Balderas. I don't like that nickname.
No. That's right.
We're like, okay, Helmet. Like that's
all right, Jerry Crum.
Forget yeah. Jerry Crum. Hey, shut it. I'm not doing Jerry Crum today.
All right, Jerry Crum. Just relax over there. I won't. This will be the end of it. But I am going to address the most gutless maneuver.
No,
in
that's what the
sports
mood
gambling
I was...
history.
Okay,
no, I'll get to it later in the hour. I'm going to let this one just kind of waft
marinate
for a little bit. The most gutless text earlier: Pete Rose plus Shoeless Joe Jackson plus every degenerate on a back alley anywhere on planet Earth equals this text and this move from earlier today. All right, we'll get to that later in the hour. DJ Smith, the head coach of Ottawa, was nice enough to accept their invitation. I didn't think it was going to happen at 5-1. 6-5 in overtime, he's in, and he's going to join us. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Ray will join us just after 5. The Raptors are in Milwaukee tonight, taking on the Bucks, and Sam Mitchell will join us in about an hour. And I wonder how the Raptors players feel about this, because Milwaukee and I guess the state of Wisconsin made an announcement today that they're going to allow fans into the stands, 10% capacity, which is what they're doing in New York as well, and it starts tonight. So you're thinking, okay, we're rolling into Milwaukee. We're in tough. The Bucks are a good team, better team than we are at this point. You know, Giannis, all that good stuff. And, yeah, it's only 1,800 people, but there's going to be some sort of buzz in the building. You know, like they're going to be excited to be in there, and you couldn't wait until tomorrow to make that announcement, but we'll see. We'll see what it means for the game tonight. And it's just a domino effect, right? Like every other day, another state is like, yeah, we'll let people in. And sports is starting to get there. Slowly but surely, it's starting to get there. So Sam will join us at 5:30. Cannot confirm or deny what we'll get to into the 6 p.m. hour, but I will confirm that Al's brother will join us. And I believe he made the trek in. I think he's in studio, and he'll join us around 6:30. But in this business, we extend invitations to people to come on the show from time to time, and DJ Smith is really nice with his time. He's a good guy. We're fans of his. He's been on the show before, and yesterday before the show, I think the grappler was grappling with the PR department in Ottawa, wondering if DJ could come on. And at 5-1, thinking, I don't know if he's going to want to put up with us. 5-1. 5-2, maybe. 5-3, I could see him coming on. 6-5 in overtime. Lock it in.
He's a lock.
He's a lock. And here he is, the head coach of the Ottawa Senators, DJ Smith. Be honest with us, DJ. Is it a lot easier to come on considering the way that game played out or what?
You know what? I do a lot of interviews, you know, and certainly I enjoy them all. But when they said, did you want to go on the Overdrive with the old dog and the boys, I actually said to my 17-year-old, I said, I'm on with the old dog today at 4:30. And he was actually excited. So this one I was excited for. I would have come on win or lose, but I'm happier that we won.
Be honest, though. 5-1, you aren't coming on.
5-1, I was wondering what was the reason why we're down 5-1 and what I would possibly say today in a situation like this.
Okay. How's that been, DJ? I mean, like, it's kind of been – it's been a tough grind. Like, how do you come up with the motivational speeches and – yeah, I mean, the guys aren't stupid, right? And everybody has your respect, but how do you come up with different speeches to kind of say, we got to keep battling through this?
Well, you know what? I knew, you know, going into the year, certainly it'd be hard in the Canadian division, being all these teams are as good as they are. But I think what motivates me and motivates us, you know, is where the future holds for this team. You know, all these young guys, you know, whether it's one day it's Timmy Stützle doing something great, or the next day it's Drake Batherson, or it's Norris going head-to-head with Matthews in overtime. You know, every day motivates, you know, me to excite these guys to push themselves a little further. And I think it does the same for the older guys, too, because they want to be a part of it. The guys that have been here want to be a part of it, and they see something special here. So the loss is hurt, but the excitement of knowing what's coming to want to be a part of it is exciting.
That's where I was going to go. You start the overtime with Stützle, who just turned 19. Norris is 21 years old, and obviously Shabbat is a seasoned veteran now who leads the, I guess, the NHL in ice time. But is that kind of part of the process? You want to see how these players respond against arguably, I guess, the league's best. You just mentioned it, Matthews and Marner.
Well, yeah, for sure. And also, I mean, there's guys that can flat out fly. And I think when you watch Matthews and Marner and Riley, you know, these guys, when they get on in overtime, they're getting some scoring chances, whether you're good defensively or not. So to put a defensive guy out there and just try and hang on is one thing. My thought process is that, you know, they're going to do everything they can to score. If they happen to screw up, I got two guys that can put it in the net for us. So why not try and win it?
Chatting with DJ Smith, head coach of the Ottawa Senators, 6-5 in overtime for them last night, back in action here in Toronto tomorrow, and then again on Thursday. Stützle is a guy that we're familiar with based on draft status and what he did at the World Juniors. He was incredible at the World Juniors. And, you know, he's a young guy, but he's a highly touted prospect. I mean, you're well aware of what the future holds for him, whether it's 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road. And ultimately, you know, it's on the athlete to put in the effort and continue to grow. But as a coach of a guy like that, how much, you know, responsibility do you put on your own plate here in terms of his growth, in terms of him developing properly and making sure he knows what he has to do to turn into the player the franchise is hoping he will?
Well, it's to me, I got to make sure that I'm protecting him. And I know it's easy for people to say, just play him 23 minutes a night. And that, you know, and I think the old dog would understand more than anyone that as a young guy, that could be harmful as well. But in saying that, I've got to allow him to make some mistakes, you know, try and make him defensively responsible. But it's easy when you get a coachable kid. He reminds me a lot of a Mitch Marner in the way that, you know, Mitch was good away from the puck. And Timmy last night was probably one of our best guys in the neutral zone. And then I said to someone after the game, I said, Timmy Stützle was playing first shift in overtime last night. Mitch Marner at the same age was playing for the London Knights. And, you know, you got to put this all in perspective as to how good I believe this kid can be. And, you know, it's not hard to coach superstars. I mean, you got to put them in, you know, put them in the right direction, what have you. But don't make it harder than it is. Let the kid get on the ice. You know, tell them what you want out of them. But ultimately, they want to be great players.
DJ, it seems like every pregame show I got to go through the ins and out of Austin Matthews' shot, what he does, what he brings to the table as the visiting coach or the opponent coach. Like, what do you see from his game right now at this particular point in the season and his growth throughout his career, what he brings to the table, like ice level?
Well, what I see from now compared to when I got there is his skating, and he's so strong skating in the middle of the ice. His hands and his stick lifts, like if you take it from him, he takes it right back from you. His defensive battle, how big and strong he is in the corner. There's no, you know, his first year, you might have been able to knock him off the puck. You can't. And it's about limiting his chances. But he's as dangerous a player and, you know, arguably the best 200-foot player in the National Hockey League today. The way he, you know, he's winning faceoffs and killing penalties and all the things he's done. He's really done a nice job in making himself into this player. And just to watch that development from then until now, he's a heck of a hockey player.
At the beginning of the season, you were going through some different guys in your lineup. Is that something, I think it was Torts a few weeks back who said, I just don't find it difficult to bench somebody. Was that difficult taking a White or somebody and saying you're not going tonight? I know you're trying to find the right mix and motivate them, but just at the pro level, telling a guy he's scratched, that's got to be something that's not too fun to do.
It's terrible. You know, I'd be lying. You know, guys seem to think that you just turn the page and you don't play the guy. Especially young guys and a guy like Whitey, who I have a good relationship with, you know, it, I lost sleep over it. And, you know, I hope that, you know, he's been one of our best players, by the way, since he's gone back in and played. And maybe it was a mistake by me, or maybe, you know, he pushed himself to another level coming back in. But I can tell you, I lost sleep and I think about kids' feelings a lot and you know, what their thought process is when I don't put them in. And there's a lot that goes into it, and it's a lot harder than you think. You got to make hard decisions, and I'm fine doing that. But ultimately, when you think about the player and what they go through, it's not as easy as you think.
DJ, you just talked about the process, and certainly it is a process this whole season for some of your younger players. You've got some veteran guys that are, you know, trying to shield some of the minutes from the players. You know, where is that line for you? Like you say, you talked about putting Norris and Stützle in situations, but are there times where you are, I guess, a little bit overprotective where you don't want to place them in too many situations where if they have a rough shift or a rough period, you might lose them for maybe a week for them to recover in a certain scenario.
Yeah, it is for sure. I mean, we had a home game last week, Norris and Stutzel, and it wasn't their fault. The puck went in. It wasn't their mistake. But, you know, all of a sudden they're minus three in the middle of the second period, and they really didn't have their hands on it. And I start thinking, you know, as a young guy, I know what they're thinking. I'm minus three, you know, like, get me out of here almost, you know, that feeling. And, you know, I kind of changed their line. And then, you know, we ended up coming back and played well. And I think they only ended up minus one or two. But I remember talking to them after the game and I said, how'd you guys feel there? Like, you looked a little, you know, shaken. And they were. And my job is to make sure I protect them. And if I got to split them up or if I got to put them with a different line or whatever the case may be, it's all about development. For those guys and putting them in spots where they can succeed. And if it's a night they don't have it, I got to put them on a line and put them somewhere where I can protect them.
With DJ Smith, head coach of the Ottawa Senators, and you're trying to do all this during a pandemic where the rules are very strict, the protocols are in place. So how much of a challenge has that been for you with young guys that you'd probably like to talk to more face-to-face, young guys you probably like to go out to dinner with the boys a little bit more on the road that can't happen. How much of that do you think you're missing out on here? And do you concern yourself at all that that could affect the overall development of the group?
Well, I just say everyone's in the same boat, but I do agree with that. I you know, especially for a young guy, you think about just the development of the player, but you think about a guy like Timmy who's moved over from Germany for his first time. You know, he's moving away. And he's here and, you know, he's stuck in a hotel all the time or he's just at the arena. You know, you'd like the opportunity for him to go out for dinner with, you know, an older guy, a Braden Coburn that just won a Stanley Cup and listen to some of those stories. And, you know, it's great for him to talk to me, but I think that's why you bring some of the older guys in, you know, and that's why I brought Ron Hainsey here and I think why Toronto had him as well is for the guys to go out for dinner with these guys and listen to these guys. It's huge developmental tools. To watch them, you know, work away from it. These are the kind of things that sometimes they're going to miss out throughout this. But again, everyone else is in the same scenario.
How horrified were you when Jimmy Stu tells you he's going to live with Brady Tkachuk? I mean, Brady's not exactly a grizzled veteran. And now he's Jimmy Stu living with Brady. Were you kind of like, hang on a second here, or is that just, that's okay?
You know what? As soon as Brady's a highly, highly competitive kid. And you know what, at the end of the day, you know, he's gonna teach old Jimmy there that we never stop working. We don't give in to the other team ever. And he's ultimate Ottawa Senators. And, you know, I think you couldn't say that about every player in the National Hockey League, that they play with the name on the front rather than the name on the back. And Brady does that. And he's teaching young Jimmy the same thing. And you could see even last night, if you asked them, it wasn't a coach's dream. If you asked them, it was their funnest game of the year, and they were rooting each other on, and they're pro Ottawa Senators, and there's something to be said about that.
DJ, you've got a long history with a lot of players. You just mentioned, you know, Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews going through the process. Even go back to your junior days, a guy like Cirelli, who's, you know, really developed into a fantastic player. You know, is it rewarding to kind of sit on the sidelines and see some of the guys that you've worked with and coached along the way to have really good success and kind of, you know, reach their potential at the best level?
Absolutely it is. And I think a lot of coaches, you know, take credit for certain players. I mean, I don't know if I had, you know, a lot to do with these guys, but even if it's just a little bit, help them along the way, even one day, a Mitch or a Matthews, but or Anthony Cirelli and Junior. If I help them at all, you know, move on to the next level or get better. That's what coaches are for, and that's all I'm here for. And I know what it was like to be a player, and sometimes not get maybe that, you know, kind of treatment. And you know, my job is to try and push these guys to get to the next level. And if I helped anyone along the way, I'm happy.
How much do you miss seeing Noodles between the benches during games?
You know what? He's always positive. He's always got the coaches back. Noodles can go anywhere he wants.
We got to get you back in there, Noodles, just yelling and screaming with no one in the building so every coach and player can hear your analysis.
Wearing sweatpants half the time. I'm going to have to put a real suit on if I'm going to be between the benches because
right.
Been hiding up in the rafters right now. But, yeah, you're right. I like to enjoy myself. We have lots of fun on the broadcast for sure.
It's all that matters. All that matters.
Well, Well, with all this pandemic, Noodles, just like the coaches, when you put that suit on for the first time, be careful if she fits.
It's terrifying, isn't it? Terrifying. It
You're
is
right.
not going in a positive direction for anyone's wardrobe at this point.
No.
Well, congrats on the comeback win last night. Good luck tomorrow night and down the road, and I'm sure we'll do this again soon. Thank you, DJ.
Thanks, guys. It's an honor to be on. Thank you.
You got it. There he is, DJ Smith, head coach of the Ottawa Senators. And he's got a little hop in his step today. He's feeling it, man.
Good interview. I like that.
Yeah,
just talks
guy.
Hockey, refreshing. I like that.
Well, listen, you got to be proud of your team last night.
No kidding.
Like, they are – he knows what they are. They all know where they're at in the standings. And, you know, Noodles, you've been saying this forever. You know that team as well as anybody. They're not just going to throw up the white flag and say, get me out of here. They'll just chip away and chip away. And to their credit, in the third period, 5-3 so quickly, they're like, we can go out and win a hockey game here.
Well,
and they did. Full credit.
The only thing that I, over the last couple of weeks, had kind of circled on my notes going into a game is like that Dadonov at one point hadn't scored a goal. And then Adam Larson, I don't know if you remember watching the highlights or whatever, Adam Larson shot it into his own net and Dadonov got credit for it on that partial breakaway. And then ever since then, it's like,
You said that's going to get him going because it was you're like, that's a garbage goal, but watch, he's going to start scoring now. He's scoring.
But it's funny because, you could speak this, you were the goal scorer, and same with Ray. Like, it doesn't matter how, you just start to feel, okay, that broke the ice. Now all of a sudden he gets a really nice goal, and then I think he got two last night. That puts him at five.
Like, yeah, he's moving
he went
now.
From zero to five. And,
yeah, you'd
be
amazed how just an
half.
Empty netter sometime, like a garbage empty netter, you're like, oh, my God, thank God I got that one. Next game, loose, feeling good, check the hair and warm up, everything's checking out, and you're dialed in again.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only – there was a couple things that I was critical of the Senators with respect. It was the goaltending because I expected more. And then it was players that, you know, a guy like Pierre Dorion brought in Dadonov to contribute, to score goals, to help these young kids. And he was getting looks, but it was like he was passing it off instead of shooting. And I on the broadcast maybe a week and a half ago, I'm like, I need more from him. Like, that's the guy I circle, and he happened to score that night and whatever. But it's, you know, that overtime goal was crazy because – he made the save. He had a wide open. Hochberg was in the corner.
Oh, that was an unbelievable sequence of events.
It was crazy because Marner should have scored. He backed his way into the front of the net. It was an unreal play by Marner. He backed his way.
I'll tell you
what,
if that thing ever got to 34, that's like a slam dunk.
Yeah, that was
I don't know if it could have gone to Riley to Matthews. That's in because he was just standing there. I think he was like, okay, they have to see me. This is like slam dunk, 6 foot. Empty net right now, just get it on, and it just never happened. It ultimately went down in the net.
And I don't blame Morgan on that play because he sees the goalie in the corner. You hammer it towards the open net.
Dadonov sticks a
leg up, and then out of nowhere, that turns in to a for-sure goal, and hey, you got a little bit of a scare, and Ottawa got a point. Adds to a for-sure goal to, like, it's in the back. We got a breakaway.
Right, like, and now explain ourselves because what the hell happened? We lost, but no one cares.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. It would have completely changed the complexion of the game. That goes in, you're like, what the hell was that? But, hey, 2 points, we'll see it tomorrow night.
Yeah,
and it does. I mean, minor details, which are not minor at all. It was, you know, a sequence of events that was very significant, can change the way you view where they're at and what happened last night. Ray Ferraro in about 20 minutes. Sam Mitchell will join us in about 45 minutes. Draymond Green had some really intriguing comments last night about the NBA, players wanting out, teams having the ability to ship players out whenever they want.
Great.
We got
comments.
Some audio. We'll get into it, and we'll get back into the Leaf game from last night as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, thanks again to DJ Smith for joining us. We always appreciate him finding time, and his team stormed back last night. That was a big win for Ottawa. Leafson sends back in action tomorrow night, then again on Thursday. Raptors in Milwaukee tonight, taking on the Bucks, and we'll get to that with Sam Mitchell. We'll touch on Draymond Green's comments last night as well after Golden State played Cleveland, and he had a conversation with Andre Drummond, and Drummond is just not playing because Cleveland is determined to move on from him. And we'll get to that in just a moment because there's some really interesting audio there. And Draymond Green's always got something to say. He's one of the most fascinating figures in sports right now in terms of opinions, microphones. But I did tease this on Twitter earlier today. And I will ask you to explain yourself here because, Noodles, you're familiar with this. We're going back and forth on these golf bets.
Yes.
And the maneuver the O-Dog has pulled here makes me want to pull the chute on the whole relationship. Like, I don't know if I can go forward with this because it is such a loser's mentality.
Dude, I'm telling you what happened last week. Wednesday, you said you picked the three best players in the field, and I had to deal with it. So that's what you get.
That's not how this all played out, okay?
Yeah. Dude,
okay,
so you're a fraud.
You're Pete Rose.
You're Pete Rose plus Shoeless Jackson, okay? You're both of those two figures in the sporting world.
You bet on your own team, Pete Rose.
That's fine. I win. I bet on us to win. So this is what happened, Noodles. About a month and a half ago, this degenerate over here to my left sends me a note saying every week the PGA Tour is up and running, and let's just pick one winner. We'll each pick a winner. Here's my guy. So before I even get a chance to respond, I'll take Dustin Johnson. Of course he takes DJ.
Of course, right.
And I'm like, all right, I guess I'm in. I'll take Justin Thomas or whatever. None of us have won anything. About a month ago, all of a sudden he's like, we'll take two guys each tournament. Here's my two guys because he's on the clock. So not snaking, just we're going to do two guys, and here are my two guys, Dustin Johnson and John Rahm or something.
Right, right.
I'm like,
the two
best.
Right.
I guess that's what we're doing. So I respond in jest because at the beginning of last week, he ups it again. He goes, let's pick three. I'm like, all right, well, I'm on the clock, so here are my three picks. Freaks out. That's gutless. I was going to take those guys. He wasn't going to take Daniel Berger for the record. You were going to take Cantlay
and Homa. You don't know
you
that.
You said it. I have it in
Dude,
my
I always sniff here. Around Berger. He's always a guy that I have interest in. You
are
know
interested.
That.
Okay, so anyway.
But the bottom line is, I'll finish the story, Hayes. You picked your three guys. You jammed me up. You won. It was a garbage field. So I think I'm deserved the three first picks in this week's
But
draft.
Here's why the evidence is not complete. Noodles, you're the judge here.
Right.
Wednesday, last Wednesday before the tournament started, we both agreed, okay, enough of this garbage. We do a snake draft moving forward. All right? You get the first pick, then I get the second, then you get the third.
Right.
Then you get. But then because Daniel Berger won, this guy writes me today, I'm in on DJ Morikawa and whoever else, and you got to chew on that. We're not doing a snake draft because you won last week.
But
which to me is just an outrageously gutless maneuver.
Yeah, it is.
It's so hard to pick the winner. I think when you have the winner like that, you got to just keep things.
That's your defense, quo. Noodles. You be the judge, jury, and executioner.
My question is: have you agreed on the snake format?
Yes, we did.
Okay, then why are you not doing? Why
that's
are you not doing the snake format?
Because I won last week.
That's a bold-faced lie. Because it was just something that was brought up. I never said we're definitely going to do snake. I just said that's possibly something that can happen going forward.
Possibly.
I've got you. I had my shot. You had your shot. But I think the victory changes everything. It's not exactly 25. Why, you won 100
but
bucks.
I
so
I but
get
I don't
my
understand how
week.
A victory changes everything.
Exactly.
Like you want to, like you, if that was you winning and he wanted to just go, okay, I want Dustin Johnson and John Rahm or whoever, you would say
snake.
Snake.
We agreed to
like,
a snake.
Stick to the.
Okay.
Like I think you're changing. You're moving the goalposts.
You know what?
The goalposts are being
Here's
moved.
What it is. I sent you the list of the top 10 players that are probably going to win this tournament. Before we get Ray on, or you want to do it right now, we'll just snake and see.
No,
if your
no,
picks
no.
Are
you got
any
your picks now. You got your picks now. I'm moving past it. But can we establish on the show right now that as of next week we snake? Because you don't want me coming back with a three-pack of picks next week.
I love it. I love the fact that the guy just gets to come in hot and say, take that. Much like I said to you today, chew on that one, you loser, because these are my guys.
All right. Okay. Who's your third guy? Who are your
guys? You
know
what? We'll let the grappler put it out there. Should the PGA Tour picks every week be three in a row for one guy or a snake? And they can decide.
All right. Fair Who enough. Did you take? You took Johnson, Morikawa. Who's your third guy?
Kepsies.
Brooks Koepka. Okay. So listen, I've got Rahm, Thomas, Schauffele, my boy
dude,
Cantlay,
it's not like
the hamburger.
Nothing. Last week, you jammed me up where I was left with Harry Higgs.
Ted Potter Jr.
Yeah.
And Harry Higgs.
Yeah, and Nate Lashley digging a grave in a green. Mm-hmm. So that's where the angst comes from. It was a jam-up job. You're like, yeah, how about, by the way, here are my picks for Pebble Beach. Three
I believe
best players
we have
in the tournament.
Here's the solution for both of you. You have to bring it on air. so that anything that gets said has there's a record of it. And I believe there is a record probably in the group, the text between the two of you.
Of course there is.
So you could actually screenshot it, and that would hold up in a court of law.
Okay.
But right now, when we're going to do it, you bring it on air, and we'll do it the last 5 minutes of a segment.
And if anybody else has any good ideas for a weekly pool, anything to keep it interesting, any kind of formats, we're all ears.
We are, and I want to hear from the people as well. Johnson, Koepka, Morikawa, off the board. The field is stacked this weekend at the Genesis Invitational. So
maybe Grappler wants to get involved for a hunch.
Might be a little bit out of his comfort zone, but you never know with the Grappler. We'll see.
Right.
All right, hour two coming up. Ray Ferraro will join us. Sam Mitchell, I cannot confirm or deny what we'll get to at 6 o'clock. Big announcement at 6 o'clock. Al's Brothers Power Rankings still to come. Jam-packed moving forward. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.